right? As you know, that we are going through the book of Colossians verse by verse, literally speaking. And we find today ourselves in Colossians 3, verse 21. Colossians 3, verse 21. But what I want to do, because I don't want to read this in isolation to what is being said, I want to read just verse 17. Then we jump to verse 21. Everything is reference to verse 17. So verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And now we jump to verse 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. In verse 17, Paul is calling us to not leave any stone of our lives unturned for Jesus' sake. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, that is, every syllabus and every muscle fiber must cry out to our Lord Jesus and say, here am I, Lord, I am yours. In word or deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Word and deed. We've got to walk the talk and talk the walk in such a way that Jesus' name is in the tip of our tongue and in every pulse of our actions. And we have come to a place of surrender to Jesus Christ. We do what we do because we know that Jesus feeds our heart with his joy. And this means that his life is to permeate all our relationships, and we are not satisfied until Christ rules our families, rules our wives, our children, our husbands, and our fathers. We are not satisfied until our wives show how desirable it is to follow Jesus' lead. How? In a way they respectfully submit to their husbands. And we're not satisfied until our husbands show how lovely, how sweet Jesus, our Savior, is. How? In a way, they sacrificially lead their wives. And until all our children show how humble and pleasing to the Father Jesus is in the way they honor and obey their parents. I stand here upon God's word and I say to all of us this morning, there is no better way to live our lives in our family unit than when the very passion of our heart is to show off Jesus Christ, whether wives, husbands, children. Well, so far, so good. What about parents? How is the life of Jesus meant to permeate how parents are to function? What does the scripture say about the role of the parents? There is no doubt this is a sermon that every child wants to hear. It is not the sermon that every child needs to hear. The sermon that they need to hear is last week's sermon, but we know that every child loves to hear this sermon. Why? Here is the verse, today's verse. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Though children probably would not know what the word exasperate means, probably they wouldn't even know how to spell it, but they think, well, there's something good for us in this. Well, let's break down God's word and find out what the Lord has to say to us this morning. Let's take it one word at a time. Fathers. Now, this word in English, obviously, it's referring to the men who have young children that are under their care. But if you look at it in a biblical context, what we find is that this word is also translated to the word parents. For example, in Hebrews 11:23, referring to Moses' parents, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they," that's his parents, "saw he was a beautiful child." It's the same word. Now, obviously, in this verse here in Hebrews, it refers to both the father and the mother of Moses. So, yes, although the fathers do have the greatest influence over their children and their family, since they're called to be the leaders of the family, so they're addressed in Colossians 3:21. That's the word that Paul chose to use. But we can also translate the word, this the same word, to the word parents, as we've just looked at in Hebrews 11:23. I believe we should. I believe we should read this as to say, parents, do not exasperate your children. Why? Because those children in context are those daughters and sons that are under obligation to obey who? Only the fathers? No, they've got to obey their mothers. And not just to obey their mothers, but to obey them in all things. So mothers, since God granted you also the authority over your children, you're not off the hook here. Now, you've got to make sure that your parenting, the way you parent your children, is consistent with the scripture. You see, there is, whenever there is a sphere of authority, you bet there is potential area where there would be an abuse of this authority. And so just like in verse 19, where we read earlier how the husbands are ought to not be embittered to their wives, meaning as to restrain the husbands, to put a hedge, a boundary around their authority over their wives, so not to abuse their authority, so also fathers and mothers are to watch guard their exercise of their authority over their children. So what I'll address here are parents. And it is to those parents the Lord has a word to you this morning. He's got a command. And he places the command in the negative. So he says, do not exasperate your children. What does it mean, do not exasperate? It means don't provoke them. Don't irritate them and drive them up the wall. Don't be a trigger that stumbles your young ones and causes them to sin. That's the point here. It's horrible to be a young child that feels that he's always under the thumb of his parents' tyranny. You know, all the time, exasperated. And the scripture here makes it very clear that we are responsible to ensure that the way we parent does not lead our children to feel this way. Why? Paul continues on and he says, so that they will not lose heart. Okay, what does it mean to lose heart? So just go in general here and we'll break it down all the more as we continue on with the message. What does it mean to lose heart? Well, literally, it means not passion. Lose heart, not passion. Meaning children will lack passion. They will be discouraged if parents will be overbearing and exasperating them. Now, lack passion in what exactly? He leaves it open-ended. Well, lose passion, we can say, well, in general, you know, you would suck the life out of your children if you go on heavy-handed, let's say, exasperating them. They will lose confidence. They'll be confused. They won't have a sense of direction. Just lose passion. But more specifically, lack passion in what? He addresses their emotion, their passion. Lack passion in what? Well, the closest command to the children in context, and certainly in the mind of Paul and the hearers of the letter, and the most important thing for children to do is what? We discussed it at length last week. It is to be honoring to their parents and to obey them in all things so long as they're under your care. So if you're going to be irritating them, if you're going to drive them up the wall all the time, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Because they will lose motivation to obey you. They'll be discouraged and they will think, well, what's the point honoring my parents when they're exasperating me all the time? So it is to your advantage and for the benefit of your children that you are not to parent in this way. Not to exasperate them. Don't do that. Now I know what you're thinking. Well, if me exasperating them will lead them to be discouraged, to lose heart, and ultimately will lead them to disobey me and dishonor me, what does it mean to exasperate, right? That's what you're thinking. I don't need to be a prophet to know that that's what you think. You should be thinking this way. What does it mean? Well, before I go on explaining what it means to exasperate your children, first, I want to qualify what it does not mean, right? Because my fear is that while I call you not to discourage your children, in the process, I would be guilty of discouraging you unnecessarily. I don't want to discourage you. I don't want to exasperate you, okay? So first, we want to cover what it does not mean to exasperate your children. And then here, I want to take this opportunity, and I do want to rule out at least two misconceptions when it comes to, okay, what it means to exasperate. So we're going to look at what it does not mean. Number one, it's not to say that every time your child is discouraged, it's automatically a sign that parents are exasperating them. It's a false statement. It's a logical fallacy. Yes, exasperation will lead to discouragement, but not every instance of discouragement in your children is a result of you exasperating them. What does that mean? What we need to understand, brothers and sisters, is that as a result of the fall, our children will find themselves living in this complex. It's a broken world. It's filled with so many challenges that can lead to discouragement, and many of those challenges are really out of our control. A child may have a chronic sickness that would grip him. If your children go to school, it may be in the school and you have no idea about. Or peer pressure. Or even death in the family or severe sickness in the family. Even a personality of a child, there are some children that have more tendency to be discouraged than others. And not to mention the biggest factor that is really outside of your control and what leads children to be discouraged is that when they willfully sin on their own accord, as they grow older And they come to a point in their life where they would choose whether to follow their parents' footsteps and direction, or whether to just outright willfully disobey and move away from this and resist this way and totally reject this path that their parents ordained for them, which obviously will lead to discouragement. In fact, this is why the scripture makes it absolutely clear. The father will not bear the punishment for his son's iniquity. So what am I saying? I'm saying this, the command here is not for you, parent, to somehow make all circumstances that are out of your control not to exasperate your children as if they are under your control. No. The command is to you, parents. You are not to exasperate your children. You are not to irritate them. If they're going to be discouraged, let it be through other means, but not you. You are responsible only for your actions. You're accountable for whatever falls within a sphere of your control, not outside. So on one hand, I want to make sure that, you know, we don't necessarily beat ourselves up whenever our children are discouraged as though we're exasperating them. But on the other hand, we need to take responsibility. Am I contributing in this? That's one thing. Right? That's one misconception. The other one, which is very, very close to it, but it has to be cleared out, is that you're not really, when it says do not exasperate, it does not mean, parents, that you are to relinquish your God-given authority over your children, and then you become spineless in your leadership, and then some parents would say to their children, oh, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it, because you know what? I just don't want to come across as though I'm discouraging you. Some children, especially those that are older in the age, but still foolish in the heart and they lack experience. You have a chat with some of those children and they say, "Ah, my parents are choking me. Oh, they don't want me to do anything." Well, anything as anything? Yeah, anything. And then you hear what they have to say, and you come up concluding, well, this parent must be too harsh. Surely this parent is too strict. Surely this parent is exasperating his children. But then you pause for a moment, you start digging. You say, why? Why do you say that about your parent? Oh, well, where do I begin? My dad, he doesn't want me to vape. My mom, forget about mom. Would you believe this? My mom wants me to be home no later than 11 p.m. What is this? And my parents, they don't want me to drink alcohol. They don't want me to go to a nightclub or hang out with friends that are just because my parents think that they are wicked. And they're going to have bad influence. Can you believe this? They're choking me. No wonder I want to listen to them. No wonder they're discouraging me. No, young man, no young woman. You're not being discouraged because your parents are exasperating you. You are being discouraged because your heart is so wicked and it has gravitational pull towards evil, right? Because what do you want your parents to do? To be an unfaithful shepherd taking care of you so that your wicked heart can do whatever it wants? And you think that somehow this will lead you to honor them? That doesn't make sense any more than when a thief says to the police officer, "Mr. Police Officer, take it easy with me, turn a blind eye, let me steal, and I will stop stealing, and I'll promise, then I'll start sharing my stuff." Really, brothers, we need to understand this as our children are about to grow older and most of our children are moving into the teenage years. Brothers, we are not to hand over our God-given authority in a golden platter so that our children would pursue evil. And then somehow we tap ourselves in our shoulders and we think we're doing them and God a favor. Exasperation does not apply here when we say no to our children and insist, when they insist in pursuing this evil world. Do you know what applies here? I'll give you a more accurate and maybe even precise passage that applies to this. Matthew 10, verse 34, where Jesus says, "Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." You know what this means? Basically means, if your children are asking you so that they would do something that God renders evil, at that moment, you must stop and ask yourself this very important question. Who do I worship? Jesus or my son? And if it's Jesus, then for Jesus' sake, you will have to say, "No, I will not allow you to pursue evil, no matter the consequences." So it doesn't mean that when your kids do evil, you turn a blind eye and you let them do evil and you give them your blessing. Doesn't mean that. So what does it mean? What does it mean to exasperate your children? How do you get your children to lose heart in the context and biblically? Because remember what we just said earlier, whatever you do, that includes parenting. You do it in the name of Jesus. You go to Jesus. You say, "Jesus, would you let me allow my children to do this or not?" He becomes a reference point. He becomes the man of the house that you are to represent. Now, what does it mean to exasperate? I tell you, every commentary under the sun gives his own opinion in this matter. So what I chose to do, because of time given, I've compiled all the ones that I thought they seem to be meaningful to us, and I kind of squeezed in my own couple of reasons as well, a couple of explanation, and I want to share them with you. But keep in mind this, that the children here in scope are those young ones who are dependent on us, they are under our care and provision. So I have five ways that parents do exasperate their children. I'll share those five ways and then we're done. We're out of here, right? The first one, when you are overly strict parent, overly strict, you would be exasperating your son or your children. Strictness is good. Strictness is good. But sometimes parents are scarred when something catastrophic happened in their life, something really bad happened, and then they become extremely fearful, and then their children pay the price for the parents' paranoia. And somehow they find themselves grounding their children and depriving them from experiencing the world. Don't go and swim. Well, why not? Well, because when I was younger, I almost drowned. Well, why do you have to choke your son's enjoyment just because you drowned? Or you almost drowned. Right? Sometimes we're overly strict because we are lazy. And we say, oh, you can't play in the rain. You can't just go on and run around in the sand. Why not? Well, you're going to get yourself dirty and then I'll end up washing your clothes. You know what we're saying when we do this? We're saying, I'm too lazy to wash your clothes and I'd rather be happy by being lazy than for you to be happy by having fun. That's what it means. Or we're too strict because we as parents are self-focused, selfish. You can't drink juice mixed with eggs. I mean, kids are crazy and they can do stuff like that. You can't do that. Well, why? It's his taste buds, not yours. Right? You don't try to impose on your kids to think that somehow they have to be created according to your image. They're not meant to be. They're created in God's image. If I don't like this, then you shouldn't do it. Or how about this? You can't make too much noise. Well, why not? He wants to make noise. You want quietness. Who should make the sacrifice? When you forbid your son from doing what he enjoys without alternatives, so that you would do what you enjoy. Do you know what we call that? What do you call that? That's selfishness, right? No. Let him do it. Let him do it. Well, why should I pay the price, not him? Well, who's meant to be modeling Christ? Who should lead by example? So you teach by example selflessness. You show him that you're willing to lay down your interest for the sake of his interest. Don't let your kids to think of you as Mr. No Dad, you know, Miss No Mom, you know, and they talk to each other and you, hey, here's Mr. No Dad coming home. You know what I mean? No Dad. That's when, you know, your default response is to say no. And you get these toys that, you know, you press the button. No, no, nah. And all different ways of saying no. Maybe tomorrow. Speak to mom. You see, unless you know that the safety or the morality of your children are compromised, how about this? How about we let our default response be yes? Yes. And we show them selflessness. I understand that we want to provide a fence of protection for our children. And that's great. That's good to do that. But when the fence is too tight that it feels more like a coffin, don't you think that the children will be discouraged? You are exasperating them, right? Overstrictness leads to discouragement. But while we're still in that point, I haven't gone yet. Overstrictness. Let me just reason with you. You know, as your children get older and the evil that is already in their unregenerate heart will continue to manifest itself more and more, get this, you will have thousands of opportunities where you will have to say no. So there will be a plenty of time where they will be irritated, right? But let this irritation be because you say no to evil, not because because of some laziness or selfishness, right? Pick your battles. That's the first way of exasperating our children. Second way, and now I want to go to the other extreme end, is if you're not strict at all, if you're a loose parent, you will produce loose heart children. You know, some parents would say this if you have a chat with them. Oh, I don't want to come across as the law enforcement. You know, I have to police my children every time they make a mistake or they fall. Why? What do you want to be? Well, I want to be their friends. I want them to enjoy my company. I want them to love me. Well, it's great to be your children's friend, okay? No problem with that. You know, I love outrunning my children. I love beating them in soccer and table tennis. Absolutely. That's great. But you know something, brothers? God called you to father them, not to be friends with them. This is way too secondary. You're called to be a father, not a friend. And to father them, it means you have got to lay down God's law. You've got to set God's standards in the house to be the standards to follow. And you've got to ensure your children to comply with those standards. And if they don't comply, what do? You discipline them. You discipline them. No. Discipline, I love my children too much to discipline them. This word, you know, it's just got this kind of weird feeling. You know, it's harsh and unloving, and I want my kids to love me, not hate me. Well, Proverbs 13:24, thus saith the Lord. This is in the scripture. It's what God says. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him, and not just disciplines him. What does it end? Diligently. You see, it's not about your children hating you. The question is, do you hate your children? Don't always seek them loving you. That's being selfish. Don't worry about that. It's too secondary. The question is, do you hate them or do you love them? If you hate them, you know what you're going to do? Well, the scripture says here, according to this, he who withholds his rod hates his son. If you hate your children, don't smack them. Let them break God's commandments over and over again. Turn a blind eye to their disobedience and then watch these little sinners to grow and become monsters, unruly, angry, i.e. lose heart, discouraged. Again, if they become monsters of iniquity, whatever, let it be, not through or because you are exasperating them. No, because you're not laying down standards. If you love them, what does it say? Let me read the second part of that verse again. He who loves him, his son, disciplines him diligently. If you love your son, if you love your children, and you see them breaking God's law, you know what you will do? You will pick up that shoehorn, you go to your children, and you tell them, children, I love you and I have a wonderful plan for your lives. Let's go to the room. Proverbs 23:13. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with a rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. He will not die. if you smack him. But you will help him not to die eternally. That's the point. Children without clear standards to follow become very confused. They become insecure. And the scripture is very clear. Your children are in need for you to guide them and to give them that sense of direction far more than they are in need of you to be their friends. That's two. Three, how do we exasperate our children? We exasperate our children by neglecting them. Leave them as though they are without a father or mother. Neglecting them. When dads and moms work for long hours and then they throw their children into the arms of a secular world, or dad's work that demands his absence from his children's lives for a long time. And as the parents see the children growing before their eyes, but they're really not involved. Sleeping when children are awake, or awake and the children are asleep, or fathers that work for long and they come home and they are so drained out of energy. The point is, when children grow up without a father figure to guide them, to instruct them, to discipline them, in the name of what? In the name of, I'm at work making money for you. Brothers, being a father means far more than for you to be a money-making machine. Your children need you more than they need the toys that you buy for them, or the holidays that you take them to. If your children are left without a father who's constantly there making himself available to train them to obey, how would you expect them not to be discouraged? That's three. Fourth point. How do we exasperate our children? When your mouth is full of criticism, and this criticism overshadows your encouragement. Had a bad day at work, you visited your in-laws, whatever, and you're just a Mr. Annoyed Man. Parents, when you always put down your children, they will lose heart. When you never reward them when they do right, only punish them when they do wrong, and when there is always something that the parents are displeased with, and they meet their children only with their frown faces, that your son only remembers you with just a frowny face. You know, when you think that your purpose in life as a parent is reduced to be a fault finder, you know, you become like, you know, the car dashboard alert, you know, this little annoying signals that you're scared to look at, you want to look at, and you know, and because the only time that they go on red when there's something wrong, otherwise they stay invisible. And you definitely would exasperate your children. If you continue pointing out what is wrong without giving any encouragement, that will lack confidence, they will feel insecure, unnecessary. Be like Christ. Full of affection to his children, to children, right? See how he accepts children. See how he loves them. See how he rebuked the disciples because he wanted to be so close to those little ones. Fathers, do you know the way that we ought to come across to our children, that is that we ought to be tender-hearted towards them? If you look at the scripture and you find the father figure, the heavenly father, is identified to be the comforter. He who comforts us in all our circumstances, in all our downcasts. You read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Old Testament in Psalms, where it speaks about God being the compassionate on his children. Show them compassion. Flood them with positive affection. Behold Christ. Behold him and his attitude towards his children. Like the song that we sang, he would never let anybody go to hell, one of his children to go to hell. Fill your mind with Jesus being that beautiful father figure to you, compassionate to you. And then go to your children and say, I'm going to be to them all that is Jesus to me. In fact, this brings me to the last, and I believe the worst kind of exasperation, number 5. We exasperate our children when we don't draw them to Jesus Christ. This is the worst by far. Spiritual abandonment that comes with eternal consequences. When parents make choices for their children that brings earthly benefits at the expense of drawing them to Jesus Christ. Earthly benefits at the expense of drawing those little ones to Jesus Christ. I call this the eternal weight of neglect. Moms, dads, when you are way too busy, I don't care what it is, even with ministries, such that you leave no place in your heart and mind and time to spend with your children, in order to draw them to Jesus Christ, is the worst kind of exasperation. I'm too busy cooking. I'm too busy cleaning. I am too busy doing this or that or the other, such that you do not share the gospel with your children. Oh, is there a worse kind of exasperation that you think of than that? When parents are not endeavoring, working hard, rolling up their sleeves, sweating by presenting Jesus to their children, what is left for those children but a world of empty and fleeting pleasures to fill their mind with? And we've been withholding from them the greatest gift ever known to man, Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, they would not just lose heart, they would lose eternal life if we do this. Oh, brothers. You know, if you pass all the other points, all the previous 4 points, but fail in this one, you know what? You failed in all. And not just failed in all, but you failed miserably. And I tell you this, brothers, and I have fear that any of us on that great day, when your eyes meet the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then you look down into your hands and you find them stained with your children's blood because you did not work hard in sharing the gospel with them. And if that is the case, I have no better verse to preach to you than the words of Jesus when he said in Mark 8:36, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? You may be a Christian and does not apply to you, but your children, what are you doing with your children? So parent, according to this verse, suppose that you offer your children the best school, the most expensive school. Suppose that you offer them the best toys and the most luxurious house, even the best morality. Even suppose that you are not overly strict and you say, well, I ticked that box. And you never neglected them. You made yourself available and you're approachable. You never criticized them. You flood them with good affections. Suppose you have done all of that. But suppose, whatever the reason may be, that you don't speak to them about Jesus Christ. What good is it? What good is it when your loved ones who are under your care are thrown into the lake of fire? What good is it to you or to them? If while they're in torment in hell, they would curse you day and night and they would say, why have you not warned me from the wrath to come? Why have you kept Christ and His grace to yourself? And you rarely talk to me about Him. Why? Why did you let me walk in a path of sin and you hardly corrected me? You never wept for me. You rarely begged me to flee to Christ and to hide in His wounds. If they would go to hell, if our loved ones, our children who are living under our roof go to hell, let them go to hell because of the wickedness of their heart, but not let it be because of you, parent, not willing to work hard in sharing Christ with them. Brothers, what parent out there would ever bear the thought that his own son would be in pain for a couple of years or for a decade? Much worse, the eternal torture that would go through. And if this is not lose heart, I don't know what is. And yet, let us examine ourselves. How many times have we missed out an opportunity in delivering Christ to them? And if that is us, brothers, this is exasperation on steroids. Oh, where are the parents that would commit in showing to those young ones what it means to know Christ? What it means to love Christ, to have a deep, intimate relationship with them, with Him? Where are the parents that would commit in their actions to model Jesus Christ's love and grace, to live out the gospel in a 3D, and to never, ever cease to speak of His goodness, kindness, and mercy, and power? Oh, would to God that we would be this kind of parents. Oh, would to God that if we find ourselves falling in representing Christ to them, by neglecting them, by being overly strict, by being selfish, by being lazy, oh, would to God that we would repent, brothers. And if we fail to deliver Jesus to them by sharing who He is, the gospel, to them, because we're just too busy doing something else, oh, would to God that we would repent with tears. And that we would be willing to move away from that way of life and to be the parents that God wants us to be. I want to finish with what the Scripture says, and I believe this is the overarching life that we ought to live as parents. It doesn't matter. Everything else falls way too beneath this. Look what it says. I'm reading to you Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's open it up. How about you turn? We'll finish with this. We'll finish with this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you want to live as a parent consistent with God's will, you've got to underline this. You've got to memorize it. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 6. It says, these words which I am commanding you today. What words that God commanding? I'll tell you in a minute. These words shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. What is it? What are the words that are commanded? Verse 5, just go up to verse 5. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Loving God. And we know God in the person of Jesus Christ. Loving Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might is the command here. And it must be in your heart. And when it is in your heart, you shall teach this command. To whom? To your sons. When? You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. And when you walk, by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, all the time. All the time. All the time. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, on our last day, Lord, when we meet our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ face to face, how we are longing to hear from His sweet lips, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, may we cherish those words. May we be more and more eager to want to hear those words from our Savior. Would you mix this longing with power, desire to be faithful parents? Above all, that we would offer Christ to our children. That we want to be to them all that Christ is to us. That it would be burning in our hearts with so much passion and zeal for Jesus Christ to be made known to them. So that we would not be discouragers, but encouragers for our children, not only to come to Christ, but to love Him with all their hearts, all their souls, all their strength. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.